love for gardening started when I was a very young child, and both my parents had big vegetable gardens as I grew up, and from the beginning, I wanted my own piece of soil to work. And I'd ask my mom, you know, I want to have some seeds and have my own vegetable garden like you and Dad. And she'd encourage me and give me those seeds and encourage me to plant as well. And she'd encourage me to have a part of her garden. But I always, for some reason early on, wanted to kind of find my own plot. And for some reason, that plot was always out in the woods, okay, under the evergreen trees. And if you know anything about gardening, it's just not a great place to grow vegetables. But I was really excited because then I could like pull up the ferns, you know, and the salmon berries and clear out a spot. And it was like I was really working the soil. And I loved to grow things that you could eat, vegetables. So my mom would kind of try to encourage me towards having a part of the garden. But she also was really good at knowing how to let me learn natural consequences. So she'd be like, okay, well, you know, there's some challenges to growing out in the forest, but here's your seeds and go. And I'd head out there, and as I'm planting my crop out there and, you know, raking the leaves and the pine needles away, and it's dark, you know, under the forest canopy, I was envisioning coming out of the woods with a wheelbarrow full of vegetables at the end of the growing season. Oh, you laugh because you've gardened. Okay? And most of the time, the seeds wouldn't even come up because the soil wasn't right. And if they did come up, they'd turn all kind of whitish-yellowy because they're not getting enough light, and then they just, like, get really thin at the base and just fall over and shrivel up. And then I'd look at my mom coming out of her garden every fall with a wheelbarrow full of vegetables. And so finally, as I grew into my early teens, I still loved gardening. And she would give me, and then I like, okay, I get it, Mom. I want a piece of your garden, that nice, rich soil that you've been investing in and, you know, fertilizing. And so I'd get that. And then I'd like to try and grow exotic things that aren't meant to grow in Washington, like cantaloupe and watermelon. And I'd get this vine, and it would start to get a fruit that would just, like, shrivel up and die. But eventually, I got it, okay? And I had the right soil, and I figured out what grew well here, and I enjoyed that. And then I was blessed to marry a woman who loved gardening, Star. And so early in our marriage, we lived in apartments, a couple different apartment buildings, small little apartments with a balcony, you know, or second, third story. And I built vegetable gardens on those balconies. So if, you know, it was maybe a 6x8 balcony, half of it was a wooden cedar planter box, you know. And if you were to stand back and look at our apartment building, you know, people have like lawn chairs and things on their apartment. And then I've got like pumpkin vines growing on the balcony, and because that was just a part of me. It's what I loved. And Star loved that too. And she brought the flowers to it. I always wanted to grow things you could eat. And then she made it beautiful by wanting to have flowers there. And now we have a space that God's blessed us with where we can have all the vegetable garden we can handle and even more than that. How many people here like to garden? Good, yeah, about half of you. Well, this morning, we're going to be continuing in our series in Mark. We've been studying the book of Mark, written by John Mark, telling these short, action-packed stories and accounts of Jesus encountering people, how they react to him. He's been speaking to the religious leaders and bringing the truth of God's character. And that hasn't been well accepted by the religious leaders. Well, as we continue in the series this morning, we started in chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. If you have your Bibles, you can prepare for that. But what we're going to see and experience this morning is Mark taking us into now some of the teachings of Jesus and some of the parables, which are super fascinating. And the parable we're starting with, that Mark starts with, has been described as the parable of all parables. Because in it, Jesus even describes how the people were receiving or not receiving his teachings. We're going to get a gardening lesson that is arguably the most well-known gardening lesson ever taught. And it's pertaining to the most important garden that any of us will ever tend. and that's the garden of our hearts. And Jesus is going to speak to the soil conditions in that heart. Okay? He's going to go after the answer to this question. Is your heart good soil in which God's word can grow? That's the question that Jesus continually is asking us and is after. And that's what he was presenting to the people he was speaking to when he gave this parable that we're going to look at this morning. So let's pray, and then we'll open up Mark chapter 4. So Lord, I pray that you would open our ears. And God, we just turn our heart's posture towards you right now. And we say yes to your word. We say yes to truth. Lord, we want to hear truth and accept it into our hearts and let it grow. And so we choose to do that as we look into your word right now in Mark. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding beyond ourselves, your wisdom imparted to us as we read your word. God, we submit to you, and we submit to your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read our passage for today. So again, he, speaking of Jesus, began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Picture this. Don't just roll through this. Actually, picture this playing out, this scene. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, second soil, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So Jesus is speaking in parables. And one of the amazing things about Jesus' parables are he's able to speak to a group of people like you this morning. And through a parable, he's able to actually identify where your heart's at, okay? Because he describes kind of three different positions of heart here. There's a hardness of heart, and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those who were actually listening to Jesus tell this parable in the crowd, were looking for a way to accuse him. They weren't open to what he was teaching or to receive any of it. They were actually looking for accusations against him. And then there were others in the crowd who were really excited about his miracles. And they're actually entertained by him. And so they gathered with very shallow roots because they wanted to see, is he going to take another basket of bread and feed 5,000 people with it? I'm not going to miss out on that. That's pretty cool. That's like a magic trick. And so there was those people listening to this parable. And then there were others who wanted to receive his word and truth and let it grow in their hearts. And those are the people who came back to him for an explanation of the parable, right? Those people were with the 12. So it wasn't just the 12 disciples, the 12 followers of Jesus. It said others who were with the 12 also asked Jesus to explain it. Ah, so he's throwing out this seed like a sower, right? So let's unpack this a little bit, the meaning of this, okay? It says a sower went out to sow, right? Okay, so the sower is identified as Jesus. Okay, what is he sowing? Sowing seed, he says. Jesus explains, he's sowing the word, okay? Seed. Now, where is he sowing it? In soil. But he explains the soil as your heart, okay? So Jesus, with a parable, is able to cast his, ready? Just kidding. He casts his word onto the soil, right? Okay? So he goes out and he throws his seed. This is kind of fun. See if I can hit it this time. There we go. But he can identify where the hearts are at and where they're landing. And afterwards, those with the good soil come to hear him. Okay? So let's walk through these different soils that Jesus has just cast a seed on here and identify them. What's different about them? Okay? So first he talks about the path, okay? So as a farmer in that day would go out and plant seed, it wasn't like he was using a machine and planting perfect rows. He actually went out and cast seed like I just did into a field that had been prepared. Well, there's wind, right? There's factors in there. Some of it's going to drop on the path. What we see is Jesus is liberally spreading his word to all who have ears to hear. He didn't look to the crowd and say, you, 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 and you. I know you're going to listen to me. Come over here and I'm going to tell you a secret. He threw it out over everyone, and the people who had ears to hear came to him for more. Okay? Well, some of the seed, he said, fell on the path. Okay? Hard soil, and you can see those seeds are going to get eaten up by the birds, which Jesus describes as the enemy, the devil. He's going to snatch that up. So you have these people with such a hardness of heart that they're not even willing to hear the truth. Okay, that might be the truth of God. Okay, the word, that Jesus is bringing is truth, and it's the good news. It's the kingdom of God coming against the kingdom of darkness. It's salvation that he's bringing as well. And that's good news, and that's truth. And he's trying to plant that in the hearts of these people. And it's gonna grow in some hearts, and it's gonna be rejected immediately by others. And we see that playing out even in Mark, okay? So there's that hard soil, okay? Seeds aren't even gonna get in there. He describes another kind of soil, okay? This is the rocky soil. Now, in that time, don't picture so much like gravel or something like that. But picture a type of soil that has a thin layer on the top, okay? But just underneath the top, there's some rocks in there, okay? So you got about that much soil, and that's why he says it springs up quickly. So this is someone who hears the truth and is super excited with no roots because the seed didn't actually get planted deep enough in the ground. If you've ever planted seed and you don't read the package and you plant them too shallow, they tend to come up with shallow roots and they dry out really quick. And they don't get down into the depth of the nutrients that are deeper down in there. So that would be somebody who receives the word excitedly and runs off without taking the time to walk with God into deep roots, okay? So he describes that kind of soil, right? Okay, so now he starts talking about soil that's filled with thorns. And it was not hard at all for me to find these thorns on my property, okay? They're all over. Everything else is dying, and these nice, you know, lush green thorns are still growing out there. About the only thing that's green out there. But he identifies three things: the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. I missed one. And desires for other things. Why can I not see that up there? So those are three things that he identifies as thorns, right? Okay, so now he's describing a type of soil where roots can grow, the plant can grow. Here we have a plant that doesn't even sprout before the birds come and eat it. Here we have soil that goes, starts to grow, gets started, and then persecution comes, tribulation, because of your faith, okay? You're mocked, you're made fun of, there's a trouble arises in your life that needs your attention, and your roots can't go deep, okay, because you don't have that depth of relationship with God, okay? So then it gets scorched, never reaches maturity. Here you have so many things going on in this soil that Jesus is saying. So many things robbing nutrients and light and space, competing with the word, his truth, that's in there too, that word grows to be a plant, but it doesn't mature to bearing fruit. It can't, because there's only so much nutrients in this soil, and these are being given a lot of it, okay? And then he describes the good soil. Ah, yes, the good soil, straight from my mom's garden. Yeah. Came out of a bag, but see, it's dark and rich and tilled and okay, so let's walk through what Jesus is really after in this parable, okay? Because what he's telling us is this is good soil. Okay, three characteristics of the good soil that he's talking about. It hears the word, it accepts the word, and then it bears fruit. Okay, interesting thing that Jesus does here in his teaching, it's like he's a really good teacher. Each one of these things is the exact opposite of the soils that he just described. Okay? Good soil hears, accepts, and bears fruit. It's simple. That's the message this morning. That's what Jesus is saying in his parable. Hears, accepts, and bears fruit. But let's go back through our soils again with Jesus' wisdom in mind, okay? So you have the path, right? This is a hardness of heart, okay? And he's described that. So looking at hardness of heart as we kind of, the spirit of what Jesus is doing here is he's basically saying the heart is extremely important, okay? The heart, your spirit, your inner being is the place where you're going to receive God's truth and it's going to be cultivated and it's going to grow, okay? That's why in the Proverbs it says, above all else, anything else you could guard in your life, above anything else, guard your heart. Why? Because it's the wellspring of life. Kind of sounds like soil, right? That's where the life grows out of, is your heart. Okay. So he's drawing our attention to that. So I think what he would challenge us with this morning is, are you willing to take an honest look at your heart? And when it comes to a hardening of your heart, obviously the solution to that would be a softening, a breaking up of that outer layer of hardness. Hardness of heart could just be being closed to God. Okay, maybe coming to church is something that someone drags you to. You don't come willingly. You don't come with ears that want to hear. It's a social thing. It's a tradition. It's Christmas and Easter that you come. And even then, you're not really open to it. That might be the case. It could be that as a Christian, there's areas of your life that are hardened off to God's truth. Okay? How does the path get hard? It gets stepped on. It gets walked on a lot. Okay, areas of your heart that have been walked over so many times that they're now hard, even to the life and the truth that God wants to get in there, which will break that up, okay? So one of the ways, honestly, that this gets changed, this soil condition gets changed, is in our hands, and it's called humility. The opposite of a soft heart, the hardness of heart oftentimes comes from pride. It comes from this sense that, you know what? I don't really want to submit to somebody or something that would direct me to live my life differently or in different ways than I would choose myself. Not really ready to go there. Or like I said, it could be from hurts that have hardened parts of your heart. You know what? I've tried exposing that part of my heart before, and I feel like people, maybe even God, has hurt me so many times in that way. I'm closed to God's truth and what he would say to me about that thing. So the way you come to God in humility is you pray, okay? How are you going to get through that top layer? You're going to have to actually take some action and break it up, okay? Because guess what? Underneath is good soil. So that might look like coming to the Lord. Oftentimes, when you come to God for the first time in faith, that's why it's called faith. Sometimes we're stuck in a hardness of heart and closed off to God for so long that we're expecting some big thing to happen outside of us. And really, God's waiting for us to bring our hearts to him and say, do this, God. Till me. Break it up. I want to step into a deep faith. Okay? And he does that. You know, coming to the Lord and saying, God, I bring my hardness of heart to you. I have resisted you all these years. And here I see Jesus spreading his word, which is the good news that he came and he died on the cross and he paid for my sins so that I can have, like we sang in the song, he's the mediator so that now I can have relationship with you, God. And so I receive that now. Break up this hardness of heart in me and allow your word now to grow. And the growth and the depth actually come after taking that step. So that's an encouragement that I would make to you if you haven't made that step. Bring your heart to God. Bring the hardness of heart that you're identifying, that he's showing you this morning, to him, and let him break it up. And you'll be amazed at how his word can now get deep down and start to grow. I'd love to hear from you if you're at a place where you want to know more about how to do that. Are you ready to take that step? Just come talk to me after the service. So then there's another kind of... So can you see how hearing is actually opening your ears to receive the seed in the first place that Jesus is teaching here, the opposite of that. Okay, so what about the rocky? Okay, accepting. Accepting is allowing that seed that's been thrown on you, that the word, the truth, to go down and let the roots go deep. I was talking to my friend Val this last week, and she has a wheat field over in Eastern Washington that she kind of rents out and they grow wheat on it. She was telling me that they grow a crop of radishes before they plant the wheat. And it's a special kind of radish that burrows down and breaks up the soil. And so that then, and they just let that kind of rot and go back into the soil and fertilize the soil. And then they plant the wheat with that broken up soil, and the wheat can go down really deep. So when the droughts of summer come, the roots are down where they can sustain life. So what does that mean for us? What's Jesus trying to get to here? We have lots of rocks in our soil, in my garden, and they just keep coming up. Like I said, the soil that was being referred to, that Jesus was referring to, sometimes there'd be this like limestone layer underneath. So a little bit of soil, and then this barrier underneath of rock, so that the roots can't get down to where they're going to survive, even when trials come and persecutions, like Jesus said, where your roots are so strong that you're like, I don't care. Whatever I have to face, my roots are deep down in God and in his truth. I'm not going to be scorched by this. Some of the things that are barriers, I think, are the things that prevent us from what we would call discipleship, okay? So discipleship is a word that we use in the church, but what it really is becoming a deeper and deeper follower of God. Jesus actually isn't just looking for believers. The word tells us, the Bible tells us that the demons believed in Jesus, okay? And they shuddered. They believed in him, they believed who he was, better than maybe some of us. They had a more clarity of who Jesus is and believed who he was. However, they didn't follow him. And so Jesus is calling us to faith, to believe in him and then follow him. And so that process is discipleship, putting roots down deep, okay? One of the ways that we do that is through reading his word, the truth, okay? That's one of the most concrete ways that we can establish deep roots in us is to consume God's word, to read it, to study it, to seek God for understanding of it, okay? So a barrier that we could say to our roots going deep, that's stopping us, is just we're not getting into God's word, okay? So removing that barrier, I missed the speaker. Removing that barrier, wow, everyone flinched. Hey, welcome back. Woke you up. Allows your roots to go deep, right? Removing that barrier. Another barrier that we have is we just don't want to connect in fellowship with others. And what that's doing, it's actually denying the way that God designed us to come and use our giftings to encourage and bless others and disciple them, and also to be discipled ourselves. There's humility involved in that. So you're driving through all this soil of humility and breaking that up, and now you're getting into coming into fellowship, being willing to serve with your giftings, but also being willing to allow others to bless you with theirs, okay? So that's another rock. That's in here somewhere. We've decided we're not going to be a part of fellowship. Well, we got to get that barrier out of here. I'll throw it over here. Almost got your foot, Zach. Okay, so now, ooh, look at that. That's nice. Okay, we're digging into the word and allowing that to go deep in our lives. Not just reading it. Oh, I did my 30 minutes of reading. I don't remember what I read, you know, but actually seeking to understand God's word. Walking with him in that. Walking with others in that. In community in that. Okay? Okay, one other way is going to be in our relationship with God, okay? So that's going to be in talking with God, praying to God, listening to God, okay? So there's discipleship, and there's also a lot of restoration that's happening in our hearts, right? Because there's these areas of our hearts that have been broken down by this world, by our sinful choices, by the enemy, okay? And God wants to bring restoration to those places, which is going to allow the soil to be broken up and even deeper. Okay, so those places that need restored in us have become a barrier to our roots being deep. So that when those lies come from the enemy in those areas of our brokenness in our hearts come against us, we're not going to be scorched. Because our roots are way down underneath where this rock is, because we took it out. Okay, children's ministry downstairs is like, what's going on? Okay, goes deep now, okay? So when the sun scorches, when the extended family member comes and scorches us with their words because we're following Christ, we stand strong. When our enemy, the devil, comes and speaks lies about us, those places of our hearts have been restored with God's truth so that we're not scorched, okay? So look at that. That soil's ready to plant in. This soil is too. All this junk on the top is moved away. Okay, so there's one more. So can you see how accepting is removing those barriers and allowing deep soil to accept God's word to go down and the roots to go deep? And then Jesus talks about good soil, different than the thorny soil, which he said specifically grew up, okay, the wheat, the rice, that I planted rice here, grows up, but it doesn't bear fruit because there's all this stuff going on in here, okay? Remember the three things that he said were happening in that soil? There was the cares of the world, okay? Cares of the world. Ooh, it's the easiest weeding I've ever done. Yeah. Came right up, okay? The cares of this world. How much of our day do we spend worrying about everything, okay? How am I going to pay that bill? When am I going to fix the car? How am I going to see restoration in this relationship that's strained in my life? What am I going to do for a living? Where am I going to go to school? When am I going to study for the test that's coming up? Whatever it is, okay? Cares of this world are robbing nutrients and space from your heart, so that God's word can grow, okay? The cares of this world need to be pulled out, given over to God. He tells us multiple times, Jesus tells us, don't worry, I take care of the birds. I take care of the flowers of the field. I'm not going to take care of you. Okay, so get rid of that. All right, there's another thorn in here. Let's see, what's this one? Okay, what's another thing that he says is a thorn? The deceitfulness of riches. Okay, so the mirage of riches. Oh man, if I was wealthy, then I could rest. I could have security, for one. Might help out with all those worries that I have. But also I'll find joy in that. And it's just almost there. I can almost reach it if I just work a little harder, if I just push a little more. And then we get that, and then we expand our cost of living. And so it's always this carrot out in front of us, the deceitfulness of riches that we're chasing after. Doesn't allow space for the Word of God to grow in your heart. There's too much nutrients and space and light being taken up by the deceitfulness of riches. So that's got to go, okay? Almost got you. Okay, so what's the other thorn growing here? Anybody remember what it was? Desires for other things. What things does your heart desire apart from God's word? Okay? It's not bad to desire things. It's not bad to even have hobbies or things you enjoy doing. An encouragement would be, do you invite God into those things? Is he leading you in those things? Is that a separate part of your, compartmentalized part of your life, and then there's God? Because that would be what we're describing here, of there's some rice in here, but then all the desires that you have outside of that are competing with it. And honestly, for probably most of us in this room, there's just not enough time in our life for God's word. We just don't have time for it. And yet we live with the consequence of that. And we're frustrated by that. And we're grieved by that. And we have to deal with the result of not bearing fruit in our life. Okay? So that needs to be getting rid of. Almost got you. Okay. So, now we have soil with some space. Okay? So this is just an honest look at, like, is there space in my life for God and his word? For his truth? In whatever way you need his truth right now in your life. Okay? Our way is just to be busy, 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 and to have so many things going on in the soil. This is actually good soil. And the thorns were growing in it just great. This is a different problem than not having enough depth for roots. This is not having enough space sideways for roots to grow. And not enough nutrients. Okay? So, making space, turning your heart away from worry, stopping your obsession with riches to bring happiness. God's saying, stop turning your heart towards other things. Start turning it towards my word so that it can grow and bear fruit. And then the bearing fruit part, who's doing that? It's happening in your life, but God's making the fruit come forth. It's an amazing seed, God's word. It will bring fruit. I guarantee it. If you make space for it, if you break up the hardness in your heart, if you remove the rocks and the barriers to going deep in your walk with God, if you start doing some weeding in your life of the things that are robbing you of any space in your heart for God's word, fruit will come forth. It doesn't have to be a striving. Okay? The responsibility he gives you is to give some attention to the soil. Any of you who raised your hand and said you like gardening, it would be ridiculous for you to not give any attention to the soil before you plant it in the spring. That would be stupid, okay, to do that. All right? Is that too strong of a word? It would be stupid, okay? And yet we do it with our heart all the time. We don't give any attention to the soil of our heart. That's what Jesus is getting to right now. And then we go, dang, you know, we come out of the woods with our empty wheelbarrow, and we're like, why isn't my life producing fruit? I believe the truth. So he wants to make space for that to grow. A couple of things that I want to present to you this morning as a way to act upon Jesus' word, okay? I created and want to provide to you a soil test kit, okay? There's test tubes in the back. No. It's a time to spend with God this week. If you could weed out enough time in your week this week to spend 15 to 30 minutes with God and just work through this time with God with some specific intentional questions that cause you, only you could answer the questions properly for yourself, to just say, what is the condition of my heart right now? If you imagined your heart as a garden where God wants to, he's standing there with a bag of seed and he wants to plant and he's ready to scatter it. What's it going to land in? Okay, so that's what that test is for, is to walk with God in evaluating the soil of your heart, and then what's the next step that you could take from what you find, what your findings are with that test. That's in your bulletin. There's some on the back table there. Take one of those with you. Find a time this week in the morning, in the evening, at your lunch break, to find a quiet place and do that. The other thing I want to encourage you with is, We're gonna watch a video here in a minute of a testimony, but after that, we'll have a closing song. During that closing song, there's a table in the back, maybe you saw it when you walked in, with soil and seeds. And as a reminder to find that time to give attention to the garden of your heart, to the soil, go back there during the last song and plant a seed. Plant a couple seeds in case one of them doesn't come up. And take that home and care for it. And watch it grow, and may it be a continual reminder to you of, oh yeah, Jesus is actually asking me to bring my heart to him and take the steps that he encourages me to take to make it fertile soil in which his word can grow and send down roots and then bear fruit. Okay? So I encourage you to do that. I want to leave you with this video of a member. It's a testimony from a member of our church. And I want you to watch in her life kind of the process playing out of Jesus coming in, breaking up the soil, making it good soil, planting his truth and his word in that soil, and then his word growing and bearing fruit. And watch how it bears fruit, not only in her life, but even in somebody very close to her.